when you felt guilty, you felt like that's how God wanted you to feel. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. God doesn't want us to feel guilty. In fact, he wants to take away our guilt. God doesn't want us to feel shame. He wants to take away our shame. God doesn't want us to feel condemned. He wants us to feel confident. Not to us, but to your
name be the glory. Yeah. Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Questions. Let's listen in as J.P. answers the question, am I going to heaven?
This morning, our final question in this series is this. How can I be sure I'll go to heaven? How can I be sure I'll go to heaven? You know, I can't think of a more personal and practical and profound question to ask and answer. And the Bible actually has an answer to this question. In fact, God wants every person to have the certainty of heaven in their heart, the hope of heaven in their heart. It would be a shame, it would be a loss for you and for God if you leave here today without the certainty of heaven in your heart. You say, JP, how can you be so bold in the way you say that? Well, I believe the Bible actually gives us an answer to that question. I believe the Bible gives us an answer to how we can be certain about heaven. Several years ago, when I first began my professional ministry, I graduated from college, and I went to work for a Christian organization called Campus Crusade for Christ. And I, my first few years, worked at the UCLA campus, and I was like a campus minister or campus missionary working with college students. And my first year, we had what we called an outreach weekend. The director of the ministry at that time was a guy who'd been a former pastor, and he'd been a traveling speaker, and he'd been a street preacher. And so he liked those real outward, bold types of evangelistic events. And so we sponsored this outreach weekend. And at that time, Westwood was a place where people came from all over. It was a happening place. All the stores were open. All the bars were open. All the movie theaters were open. And students and people from the community just would pack in the place during the weekend. Well, this was a weekend night, and we had about 50 students that were part of our campus ministry and a few of us as staff members. We gathered them together. And what I anticipated was happening was that Don, our director, would be speaking out kind of in the open air, and we would just dialogue with people who might have questions. So as we gathered together, Don kind of said, we're going to do some music, and certain students were going to kind of share their story. And then he said, and JP's going to be doing the speaking. Now, I was unprepared, and I'd never done anything like that before. And I had just all the obvious fears that probably you would have in terms of standing out on the street in front of people. What are they going to think of me, and what am I going to say, and what is this going to look like? And I was scared to death. I really was. And the event started, and we had some music, and that 50 grew to about 100 to about 150 as people kind of from the community just kind of gathered around to see what was happening. And I'm standing there. I mean, I'm just breaking out in a sweat because I don't know what I'm going to say. And I'm going to have to stand out there on the street and try to talk to people. And one of our students got up and began to share her story. Now, she's talking and sharing her story, and I'm kind of hearing it in one ear, and in the other part of my brain, I'm thinking, what am I going to say? Because I've got to get up right after her and say something to this crowd of people. And as she's talking, she was telling her story about how she was raised in a religious home. And while she believed in God, she never felt accepted by God. And she never had a certainty about her relationship with God. And her experience with religion was a bunch of do's and don'ts. And she always felt like she fell short of what God expected. And so she never had a secure relationship with God. This is what she's been saying. Now, the whole time, there's a guy that's kind of standing in the first row of all the crowd who's been heckling everything that's been going on. He's been shouting stuff and trying to disrupt the meeting. And then this gal, the student, shares in the course of sharing her story how she came to a place where she had certainty about a relationship with God and certainty about heaven. And at that point, this heckler yells out really loud, "How can you be sure you're going to heaven?" And I'm over here kind of listening to what's happening, thinking, what am I going to say when I get up? And I hear this guy yell this really loud. And I figure, that's my intro. So I walk out into the center of this crowd, and I put my arm around the gal, and I pointed to the guy who yelled that, and I go, did you just hear his question? Say it again. Ask it again. And he said, how can you be sure you're going to heaven? I go, that's a great question. How many of you here in this crowd have had that question for yourself? And a bunch of people raised their hands. And I said, if you'll give me 10 minutes of your time, I'll see if I can answer that question for you. And I looked at the heckler and I said, will you give me 10 minutes? And he said, okay, go ahead. And then everything just went quiet. Here we are in the middle of Westwood, all this commotion, all this activity, this big crowd, and everything just went quiet. And for the next few minutes, I attempted to answer the heckler's question. How can you be sure that you're going to heaven? It's really the answer I want to share with you. Because I believe the Bible answers that question. I believe the Bible gives us hope. Hope for today and for tomorrow and for all eternity. Hope about eternal life. The question before us is, how can we be sure we'll go to heaven? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to 1 John chapter 5. If you don't, the scripture will come up on the screen. This is what God says in response to that question. How can I be sure I'll go to heaven? 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. It says this. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son has the life. He who does not have the son of God does not have the life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, God's desire for every one of us is that we know that we have eternal life, that we know with certainty that we're going to heaven. Three observations I want to make of this passage in answering this question. How can I know that I'll have eternal life? How can I know that I'll go to heaven? The first observation is this. God has given us testimony about his son and about eternal life. God's given us testimony. In this passage, the Apostle John uses this word testimony. It's the word to bear witness. It's the Greek verb martyromai, and it means to give a witness, to give an account, to give a testimony, to bear evidence. It's a legal term. It's the kind of term that would be used if someone was in court and they were swearing to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and then they gave their testimony. God has given us testimony about his son and about eternal life. You see, this is not one of those questions that we have to just kind of grope in the darkness to discover an answer. This is not one of those issues that it's left up to the philosophers to debate and to go back and forth and for us to kind of be really clueless with respect to the ultimate answer. God isn't playing some type of cosmic game of hide-and-go-seek with us, and he's found the best hiding place, and we can't discover him, and we're just kind of wandering around looking for him and looking for answers, but we can never really find them or be certain that we've found them. No, God has given us testimony about himself and about his son and about eternal life. The Bible's so clear on that. The book of Romans tells us that God has given us a witness of himself. God has given us a testimony of himself. He's given us that in creation so that everyone can see in the created order that God exists and that he's real and that he's personal. And he's given us a testimony in our own heart in terms of our conscience and our inward sense of right and wrong. And he's given us a testimony in terms of history, how he has providentially worked in history. That's available to every person. And then the Bible tells us that the Bible itself is this great testimony of God's word to us. It's a message to us, giving us hope and life and direction. And Jesus Christ himself is the revelation of God. It says in John's Gospel, in John chapter 1, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he's explained him. In the whole realm of biblical studies, when you go to graduate school in theology or you go to a seminary, you study what's known as exegesis. Exegesis is the technical study of looking at the Bible and letting it speak for itself, not reading into it, but letting it speak out. That's what it means, exegesis. That's the word that's used in John there, where it says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. He has exegeted him. Jesus Christ has exegeted God to us. He's explained God to us. You want to know God? You look at Jesus. In fact, Jesus said this in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the first observation is this. God has given us testimony about his son and about eternal life. There really is an answer to this question. And it's an answer because God's made the answer known to us. He's revealed it to us. Here's a second observation. He who has the Son has eternal life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. He who has the Son has eternal life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. You see, this passage makes it very clear that eternal life is found in the Son of God. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. And so the great dividing line is this. Do you have the Son or do you not have the Son? Because if you have the Son, you have the life. If you do not have the Son, you don't have the life. That's exactly what the passage says. In fact, it says this in 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Now, I can imagine, if you're processing this through, that for some of us out there, this may sound very narrow. It may sound very exclusive. In the past several weeks, we've been examining Christianity in the light of different religions, and we've been looking at different questions and trying to find some answers. And the reality of the matter is this: every religion makes exclusive truth claims. In fact, every worldview makes exclusive truth claims. I don't know if you've thought about it, but it's true. Atheists say there is no God. That's an exclusive truth claim. Agnostics say, we don't know if there's a God, and you can't know if there's a God. That's an exclusive truth claim. Muslims say, Allah is God, Muhammad is a prophet. That's an exclusive truth claim. You see, every religion, every worldview makes an exclusive truth claim. So what is the exclusive truth claim of Christianity? It's that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. And eternal life is found in the Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Jesus says, come to me that you might have life. Come to me that you might have life. John, in writing about Jesus in the truth of Jesus as the incarnate God, he says this in his prologue in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that have come into being through him, and nothing has come into being except by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, in Jesus Christ, there's life. There's life. And so John says here in his letter here, he who has the Son has the life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Here's a third observation from this passage answering the question, how can I be sure I'll go to heaven? If we believe in the name of the Son of God, we can know we have eternal life. If we believe in the name of the Son of God, we can know we have eternal life. In fact, John says, in wanting to give hope and assurance to his audience, he writes this in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. God wants us to know that we have eternal life. I love the way John writes this. He doesn't say, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you might hope that you have eternal life. I know a lot of people who hope they have eternal life. He doesn't say, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may guess whether or not you have eternal life. God doesn't want us to have a guess. God doesn't want us just to have a hope. God wants us to have a certainty, an absolute certainty. God wants you to have an absolute certainty. God wants your loved ones to have an absolute certainty. God wants your neighbors to have an absolute certainty. God would want everyone to have an absolute certainty. In fact, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, and he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for many. It is God's heart, it is God's desire that people come into a knowledge of him and that people be in a relationship with him where they are certain about eternal life. You know, some of us have grown up in traditions where we have almost sanctified guilt and condemnation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've been raised in a religious tradition where when you felt guilty, you felt like that's how God wanted you to feel. So the guiltier you felt, the more spiritual you thought you were. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. God doesn't want us to feel guilty. In fact, he wants to take away our guilt. God doesn't want us to feel shame. He wants to take away our shame. God doesn't want us to feel condemned. He wants us to feel confident. In fact, the Apostle Paul, you know, the greatest Christian who ever lived, says this at the end of Romans chapter 7. I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. Wretched man that I am, who's going to set me free from this body of death? And then he proclaims at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John says it this way in 1 John 5. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might know that you have eternal life. Think about it in terms of a marriage. Would you just want to hope that your spouse loved you and was committed to you? Would you want to just guess that they loved you and were committed to you? Or would you want a deep-seated certainty, an unshakable assurance about their love for you and commitment to you? God wants us to have a deep-seated confidence about our relationship with Him, an unshakable confidence about our relationship with Him, an expectation of eternal life with Him that's not rooted in arrogance, it's not rooted in self-righteousness, it's rooted in God's promise, you see, because we trust in Him and we believe what He said, so we're confident about our relationship with Him. I love the way Bill Hybels, pastor of church in Chicago, Willow Creek Church, he shares a story about one summer when he was on vacation. He got built a relationship with a guy and wanted to be able to share this message of salvation with him. And it turned out that he never really had an opportunity, and the summer was coming to a close, and he just had a few seconds to be able to talk to the guy. And he pulled out a piece of paper and he said this. He said, you know what? Most religions spell a relationship with God this way. And he wrote two letters, D-O, do. It's all about what we do. He said, you know, Christianity spells a relationship with God this way. And he wrote, D-O-N-E, done. It's already been done for us by Jesus Christ. And your hope of eternal life isn't on what you do, but it's on putting your faith on what Jesus Christ has done. See, John says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Two questions that I have been asked before and that I've asked others many times about. Maybe they're questions that you've been asked or have asked others. If you were standing before God and God said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? If you were standing before God and He said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? You see, our answer to that question is really telling. Because if we say something like this, well, I've been baptized, I've gone to church, I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments, I've been a good person, I've given my money to good causes. If we say any of those things as important as those things are, it shows that we've missed the boat. It shows that we're still trying to answer the question, D-O, do. God said, why should I let you into heaven? If our answer is, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead, and I'm putting my hope in Christ, and I'm trusting in Christ alone. Then it shows that our answer is D-O-N-E, done. We're trusting in Christ, you see. Here's the second question. If you were standing before God and He asked you, on a scale of 1 to 100, what percentage of certainty do you have that you'll go to heaven? What percentage of certainty do you have? You see, if we say anything other than 100%, we haven't taken God at His word. Well, JP, it sounds cocky to say 100% because you don't know the kind of life I've lived. Well, I just don't know the kind of life I've lived. But it's not based on what I do. It's based on what Christ has done. And God's word says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. I have 100% certainty I'm going to heaven, not because I've been a great person, but because Jesus Christ is a great Savior. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And my birthright, your birthright, in fact, what God would want everyone to have is 100% certainty that they're going to heaven. Many years ago, when I became a Christian, I was 16 years old when I invited Christ into my life. My brother was the first person ever to tell me that I could know Christ personally. I didn't really go to church very much. I went a few times and had been exposed to Christianity, and I kind of thought that God existed out there, but He kind of graded on the curve, and if you're a good guy, you got to go to heaven, and if you're a bad guy, you went to hell, and, you know, I thought I was a good guy, so it was a pretty good system of belief. But I really didn't know intimately about Christ's death and resurrection for me and God's love for me and God's desire to be in a personal relationship with me. When I was 16 was the first time I heard it, and after I began to think and check out and read the Bible for myself, I invited Christ to come into my life. And I remember specifically where I was and when I did that and knew for sure that I was stepping into a new relationship with God. But do you know what? There were some times afterwards that I kind of doubted. I didn't doubt Christ. I doubted me. Because I felt like I didn't live up to my part of the bargain. I wasn't doing a very good job of being a follower. And so I'd pray again, Jesus, come into my life, forgive my sins, be my Savior, I trust in You. And then there'd be some time when I'd doubt again because I felt like I'd kind of blown it in some way and I Maybe I really wasn't a Christian after all. And so I said, Jesus, please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And I kind of did that several times. One day, though, about a year after I'd become a Christian, I was watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. And Billy Graham was speaking, and he said, I'm speaking to you out there in TV land. And he didn't say that, but it sounded kind of like that. He was talking directly to this whole issue of having assurance. And you know what Billy Graham said? He said, if you have sincerely committed your life to Christ and you have asked Jesus to come into your life, if you keep on praying that same prayer over and over again, you are calling God a liar. Wow. But you know what Billy Graham said is the same thing it says here in this passage of 1 John 5, because it says this, 1 John 5:10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he's not believed the testimony God has given about his son. Well, I remember many years ago, as I was watching that program on TV, Billy Graham had my attention. And he said, if you've asked God to come into your life, if you've sincerely asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, you need to put your trust in Christ, not in your feelings and not in your ability to live the Christian life. You need to put your faith in Christ, not in yourself. And you need to take God at his word. And he said, so if you've been kind of going back and forth doubting or going up and down, you need to settle the issue once and for all that your faith is in Christ alone and you're trusting in his promise alone. And don't ever again doubt whether or not he heard your prayer or he has honored your commitment, because your faith in Christ is what guarantees the certainty of eternal life. You know, after that, I never again ever doubted my relationship with God. It's been 30 years. I have never doubted my relationship with God. Have I lived a perfect life? No. Have I blown it? Many, many times. But I have certainty about my relationship with God. Not because of who I am, but because of God's promise. Because God has said, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. This morning, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. And if you've doubted or if you've never stepped over the line and given your life to Jesus Christ, let's settle the issue right now once for all.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653, or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. Did you know that God wants you to have certainty about your relationship with him? In fact, it is the birthright of every Christian to know that they have eternal life. And that certainty comes from believing in Jesus Christ. If you've never personally made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I'd like to invite you to do that right now. And it's as simple as saying a sincere prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. I trust you as my Lord and Savior, and I surrender my life to you. If you said that prayer in sincerity, then God heard that prayer, and based upon your belief in Jesus Christ, you can now know that you have eternal life.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives. The cross before.